that's right. We're right here, Sharp Facets Gallery. It's the beginning of our political season anyways, right here on WCRS. We've got interviews, and more interviews. And today, our first interview today is with Dett Bowers. How you doing today, Dett Bowers?
And I am doing wonderful, and it's great to be here in Greenwood and be with you.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. We are excited to get to know a little bit more about you and your traveled road, I guess we should say. So you have been an attorney. You've been in business, outdoor advertising, and insurance.
Right.
And now you're in the ministry.
Yes. I still have a couple businesses that I'm involved in. And I actually resigned from my formal position as pastor a year ago this month, not knowing exactly what the next leg of life's journey would bring me. And it's brought me to this. So I still do preach and teach and operate a couple businesses.
Okay. All right. Why would you give up your ministry?
And the times in our lives when we have an awareness that we've accomplished what the Lord wants us to accomplish in a certain place. Mm-hmm. And I had that awareness. I didn't have any idea where that would lead me. Mm-hmm. I just knew I had completed that leg of that journey. And we had that awareness November a year ago. And in May, we were able to resign from the pastorate formally with the church in great shape, still go to church there, still love those people. They love us.
Where do you go to church then?
It's Christ Church of the Carolinas in Columbia, downtown. It's a non-denominational church.
Okay. So what would drive you to get into politics? Because, I mean, it looks like you had a pretty good life going the way it was, Dett.
And you are so right. May a year ago, when I resigned the pastorate, we had four grandchildren. We have another granddaughter who was born today at 11:43 this morning.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Her name is Louise Corinne Bowers.
Okay.
And she is doing great at 6 pounds, 8 ounces. And I haven't seen her yet, and I'm looking forward to getting home tonight so I can see her. But you're right. We had a great life. And my wife and I have been married for 38 years. And I never had any idea I'd be doing this at 62 years of age. But we reached the place in our lives where, as we look in the faces of our grandchildren, their birthright, from our perspective, was being taken away from them. And we could sit there and do nothing. Or we could enter into an entirely different fray than we had been in, where the fighting is the most fierce, the gunshots are loud. The difficulty is we all seem to wear the same uniforms, so sometimes it's hard to tell who's on whose side. But this is where the Lord has us for this season, and I have thoroughly enjoyed doing it. Love people. Love being around people. Suits me to walk into a room and not know a person who's there and just begin visiting with folks. So it fits into the way I was sculpted while I was yet in my mother's womb, and I'm enjoying it.
Well, now, we do need to tell people, you are running against Lindsey Graham here. You want to go all the way. So, have you ever held political office before?
No.
So, you are going from being a babe into running against Lindsey Graham, who is a formidable. He has, what shall we say, a lot of money to put towards this. He is spending a lot of money on this. The primary comes up June 10th. So let's just jump right into it. Why are you running against Lindsey Graham?
When the political class lacks the political will to do what's best for the entire nation, and in our case, for South Carolina, then those who are not a part of that class need to cease being spectators and become participants. That's why we're in this race, is unless we change the character of Washington, we're not going to change the direction of this country. And those who are our founding fathers, they were not of the political class. They had not held office.
Right.
For the most part. Certainly not higher offices, because we didn't have those higher offices.
Sure.
And if we're going to capture and augment the America that our founding fathers gifted to us, then we need to have that same disposition. I don't want to live in Washington. It is not my home. It will never be my home. Mm-hmm. I was born in South Carolina, educated in upstate at Wofford, and then I live in the Midlands.
Are you going to die in South Carolina then?
If God's good, if God's good, I am going to die in South Carolina.
Okay. Sounds like a song if ever I heard one here. So as far as taking issue with, because you are going up against Lindsey Graham, what to you is number one issue as far as what Senator Lindsey Graham, where you feel he's falling down on the job, if you will?
The areas where we would disagree, mm-hmm. one would be illegal immigration. I am opposed to amnesty. Another area, because I am an attorney, and have been both an undergraduate at Wofford and at University of South Carolina School of Law, schooled in the Constitution, I would have never voted for Sonia Sotomayor or Elena Kagan. And Associate Justice Kagan's position on the military when she was dean at Harvard, and she did not allow the ROTC to recruit on Harvard's campus, you don't have to question her bias vis-a-vis the military. The military is crucial to our nation, but it certainly is to South Carolina. She just wouldn't be an option. I would never vote for her. And the decision that was handed down a couple weeks ago, the 5-4 decision on prayer up in New York, mm-hmm. the two of the four are two of President Obama's appointees. I would have never voted for them. Their address to life is so significantly different than the dress of South Carolinians to this same life. I could not have voted for him.
So you're saying because Senator Lindsey Graham voted for them, that you are opposed to everything else that he has done?
No. I mentioned amnesty first. That came second. The NSA is another illustration of an abuse of our own privacy. We cannot allow the government into our private lives. They're already there too much. And to allow that additional entree, and it doesn't matter what excuses somebody uses or justifications, mm-hmm. that's inappropriate. And that's one of the reasons that we have the Fourth Amendment and the 14th Amendment. Mm-hmm. If I'm suspected of being a terrorist, go get a warrant. Mm-hmm. And you can get my records.
Sure.
But just to be able to pirate them, it just abuses the Constitution. So that's another area where we would...
Well, the Constitution. I mean, how could people that did something over 200 years ago know what our country would be like today?
Oh, that Constitution was written for 1776 and 2014 and until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. We have an amendment process, mm-hmm. and you can amend it.
Sure.
But what we have with the federal judiciary is we have an ongoing constitutional convention.
Yes.
And they keep amending it.
Sure.
And we can't afford that. And what we have found is that in the United States Senate, our United States senators have given up significant authority. And so the separation of powers, Montesquieu coined the phrase separation of powers. And because of what our senators have given up, because they don't want to take responsibility for smaller matters, the separation of powers is being abused, so we no longer have the fullness of the rule of law.
But what is happening in the Senate is Harry Reid is actually controlling the Senate. If there is nothing that they want to bring up, they have amended the numbers that are necessary to vote and what carries a full to be able to pass something. I mean, I don't really see where the Senate has much power at all.
The Senate is having less and less power.
Exactly.
Because they're running for the next election rather than the next generation. And that's where the difficulty comes in. Whether it was John Adams or Thomas Jefferson or Monroe or Madison, mm-hmm. those men framed a constitution that they intended mm-hmm. to serve us 237 years later. Well, that's not what we have in the Congress anymore. That's what we need. And if you remember from David McCullough's writing, his description, particularly the Second Continental Congress, when George Washington was nominated to be the commander-in-chief of what we would call the Revolutionary Forces, the Virginian stood up. He, in an appropriate way, bowed to the 56 delegates in Philadelphia. He agreed to accept it if they voted for him. And he walked out of the room. He walked out of the room because he would not influence their vote. There was a term that was used.
So what are you saying?
Well, there was a term that was used in the 1800s, 1700s, and the term was disinterest. Mm-hmm. Disinterest didn't mean I'm not interested. Disinterest means I would not vote my interest. Well, what we have now in the United States Senate, and you brought up Harry Reid, mm-hmm. prime example,
sure.
is they vote primarily their interest. I think if you've got a personal interest in something, you either need to recuse yourself from that vote or you need to vote against it. One of the two. That's the way you get to where we ought to be in life. But that's not what we have.
So you're saying that that Senator Lindsey Graham does not stand up or recuse himself or vote against something?
I believe that for a United States senator from South Carolina to vote in favor of the two most recent United States Supreme Court nominees is a vote in favor of his own interest rather than voting in favor of the interest of South Carolina. Those two people do not agree with us on fiscal or social issues. I have a responsibility first to the Constitution, but then my second responsibility is to the people of South Carolina. And I think neither one of those were honored in that vote. Senator Graham, and again, I have nothing against him personally. It's just a difference in ideology. Mm-hmm. But in that vote, he voted the way he did, as he might say, so he could sit at the table. I have three sons, now five grandchildren. There are certain tables I don't want my children to sit at. There are certain tables I don't want to sit at. Those are dangerous tables. The other people at those tables, they have razor blades for fingers. They will slice you up. You'll be bleeding in the street, and you don't even know you've been cut. We are a judicious people in South Carolina. We're a conservative people. That is not conservative.
Some people might disagree with all the ethics problems we have down there in Columbia right now, but okay.
But remember who's in Columbia. I mean, again, the political class does not have the political will to do what is right. That doesn't refer to everyone in Columbia.
So you're saying that the only way that we could possibly change things is to have outsiders come in and do the business of whether it's the state of South Carolina or on the federal government.
No. But what I am saying is that unless you exercise disinterest, unless you exercise a judiciousness in your own character, so that you always take care of those who put you to where you are, mm-hmm. then the system is broken. It doesn't work. And there's no question in anybody's mind that Washington is broken. And so if we keep doing the same things, come on, mm-hmm. insanity. And that's what we're doing. We're doing the same things over and over again. And we keep sending the same people back, expecting different results. It's not going to happen.
All right. Well, you heard it right here on WCRS. We're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. Hey, I'm Ann Eller. This is WCRS. We are talking with Dett Bowers. He is running for senator to our federal government. He is in the primary with Lindsey Graham. And, of course, a question we were just talking about off the air is, just being a party of no doesn't do much for you. Just saying no to everything doesn't really get you anywhere. Who was it? Reagan said that if he got 85%, he felt it was a good day.
Yeah,
what, right. What do you think?
I think South Carolinians and Americans have a lot of positive energy. There's a lot that we're for, and we need to articulate what we're for. Now, to some folks, that for may sound like a negative. For example, if you're for shrinking the size of government, I think that's positive. The larger the government, the smaller the citizen. But we need to be for that. It's going to take a lot of time, a lot of effort, ingenuity to figure out where you shrink that government.
What should we do? Should we move out of Washington, D.C., and some have suggested moving to Nashville, Tennessee? It's much more centrally located.
It is. I don't think we have a geographical problem. I don't believe that's
the issue. Basis of starting over, shall we say. I mean, can you shrink the size of the government that we have right now in Washington, D.C.? Do you realize the number of people that depend on that government being big, bloated, and growing? I mean, look at the skyscrapers and everything that keeps growing up there.
And we can. You know, when the 18th Amendment of the Constitution was passed, which was prohibition, no one would have ever conceived that there'd be a 21st mm-hmm. Amendment that did away with prohibition. No one conceived that could possibly happen. With Americans, we're the most exceptional people in the world. We put a man on the moon.
Sure.
When
back in the 60s.
Well, you're right.
It's been a long time.
It's been a long time since we put a man on the moon. But look at what we've invented. Who invented the computer? I mean, it's the same Americans. It's the same DNA. It's the same footprint. Our people are positive.
Al Gore
people.
Turned on the internet. Was that a good thing? Sometimes I think not. Sometimes I think not. But anyways, we have so many people. We have so many, when you talk about immigration, we have 13.5 million, 14.5 million, whatever the figure is, of illegal immigrants here in our country. How do we put our own people back to work? And how do we, for the immigration aspect of it, how do we remove them from our country? They are so ingrained, and there's always a conversation, well, this one is good and this one is good. And then, of course, we have the anchor babies here. We've got children that are being born. Do we want to rip their parents out and send them back but keep children here? How can America handle the immigration unless you just go ahead and say, okay, everybody is a citizen?
Well, that last option is not an option for us. That's inappropriate. It actually
it make things a lot easier. I'm playing devil's advocate.
Well,
I
know you are. just because things are easier doesn't mean that's what we should do. As a matter of fact, it's the hard things where our muscles grow, when we have to make the tough decisions and work through issues person by person. I think if you look at the immigration issue, is it difficult? Certainly it is. But when someone says, for example, you cannot deport them all, I don't know whether you can or not. I'll tell you what I do know. In 2000, under the Clinton administration, 1.84 million illegal immigrants were deported. 2011, under President Obama, 750,000 were deported. But he changed the definition of deportation to also include those turned back at the border.
Mm-hmm.
So we get...
Well, those weren't really deported.
Exactly.
Right.
So we get fallacious numbers. Mm-hmm. We have an administration that we cannot trust. I have not met anyone. I've talked to thousands of people around this state. I've not met anyone that trusts IRS. I haven't met anyone that trusts Health and Human Services. I hadn't met people who trust NSA. And I can go on with the acronyms.
Right.
So trust is the oxygen of governance. Without trust, marriages don't work. Governments don't work. Parent-child relationships don't work. We have got to restore the trust to government. How do you do that? How do you restore trust to anything in this world?
I think move to Nashville. Start.
I think that's because you like Nashville.
Just was brought up one day. I said, not a bad idea. But anyways. Okay. How do you restore trust? Wait a minute. We're going to have to address that when we come back right now. It's time for South Carolina Radio News. Don't you go away.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafé cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. Yes, I'm Ann Eller. Yes, I'm here with Det Bowers. He is running for to be a senator from South Carolina on the Republican side. He actually hopes to take over Lindsey Graham, Senator Lindsey Graham's seat. So we're going to see how that goes. You know, we were talking about immigration, and of course, you know, one of the things is the fence across Mexico. There's conversation: is it too expensive? Should we put the fence up? What do you think?
I think, first of all, Ann, we don't just have a border difficulty with four states. Mm-hmm. We have 50 states that have borders and can have border problems.
Well, some on the interior, they might
wouldn't
not
have nearly as much as we do. But here in South Carolina, now,
right,
we've got a significant
sure
issue
coast,
with,
right,
with the coast.
Sure.
I think the problem with even a discussion about the fence is the lack of a true willingness to fix the problem, because we have a significant portion of Washington, they don't want that fence built. It facilitates their agenda, and it will not be built on their watch. And so until we get those folks, until we recess them and allow them to enjoy lives back in their states, we're not going to fix that border issue. Every night before y'all leave this shop, you secure the border.
Yep.
You just turn the lock, that border's secure.
Well, we turn on the alarm.
And that helps,
you know,
too.
We've got a couple other things,
yeah.
Yes.
But,
cameras,
but
yes.
You secure the border.
Sure.
And we can do that. The federal government has more money than anyone has who secures the border of their home or their retail establishment. But the difference is that Ann wants to secure this border. They don't want to secure that one. And their don't wants are costing us.
So you're saying that, I guess one of the problems that I have is, you're one person up against 100. With 100, you'd be 99 other senators with you. How do you get to go into that office and become effective almost immediately? I mean, you've never been in political office
right
before. I would think it would take a learning curve to get to that point, to be able to be effective at, even if you want to say, stopping the border, keeping the immigration safe and this type of thing. How do you do that?
I believe any one person can accomplish a great deal when he works with other folks who are like-minded. So, for example, this past Tuesday, Ben Sasse won the Republican nomination from Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Sasse is a very conservative gentleman,
mm-hmm,
and a man of great character. So all of a sudden, you've got a Ben Sasse who's going to be part of the next, most probably, part of the next class. There are other Ben Sasses who will also be a part of that same class. So I don't think I go in there as one. When Mike Lee, Ted Cruz, Tim Scott, they didn't go in as one.
Mm-hmm.
They went as part of a body of folks who believe very similarly. We don't need but just a handful of people in this next election,
mm-hmm,
to capture the Senate again.
But then you've got all these people retiring, people like Mike Lee. You know, they're retiring. I mean, he's not in the Senate. He's in the House, correct?
Right. No, Mike Lee's in the Senate.
And he is retiring, right?
Yeah.
He's retiring. So you've got people that are fed up with it and are just getting out.
Right, just like Senator DeMint did.
Right.
And so you do have that. But you have other folks who are offering for those offices who have a fresh vision, and they don't believe in no. And they understand from the outside what damage this is bringing to their states, and certainly to the United States. The motto of South Carolina, Dum Spiro Spero, while I breathe, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
There's not another America. There's not another. There's not another New England.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. All of the nations of the world look right here for their hopes. We're the envy of all the world. They want your sanitation. They want your jurisprudence. They want your matchless constitution. They want your precious freedoms. All of them look here. We
I don't know
that.
About all of them now, Dad. I mean, I might take issue with you on that. Some of them are saying, no, then we don't want to be like Hetz, and why are you coming over here trying to make us like you?
Well, I would agree with you in right. general, but those that have democratic republics, mm-hmm. they want to be like us. I mean, they just do. It doesn't matter where you go on the globe. If you think the Russians, the Crimeans, the Ukrainians don't want our advantages, somebody is crazy. They want what we have, and we want them to have it. Mm-hmm. But we want them to have it in such a way that they will be benefited by it. We want to export all that we've been given and all that we've worked for. But we're not able to do that because of the political class in Washington. They're just strangling us.
So I guess you just said we should just throw all the bums out.
Well, we might have a disagreement on who the bums are.
All right, but now how are we going to reduce the size of government?
Well, I think there are many ways.
Concrete. How are we going to reduce the size of government?
The Affordable Care Act.
Yes.
Usurped 1/6 of the United States economy. It needs to be repealed. What the president did there is he built a bureaucracy rather than building a people. You do away with the Affordable Care Act, and it can be repealed. Just like the 18th Amendment and the 21st Amendment, mm-hmm. it can be repealed.
Okay.
You shrink the size of government. How do you think
we're going to be able to repeal the Affordable Care Act, though, when people, you know, because really we're looking at maybe 2016, 2017?
I think we can repeal it.
But will there be the people's will to repeal it by the time we get to 2017?
Someone much brighter than I one time said, an organized minority will defeat a disorganized majority all day long. Ann and Dett may be in the minority.
Mm-hmm.
But if we'll organize, if we'll be purposed, if our resolve never wavers, we can win. We can win, and we can never afford to give up. We can't afford to give up. Yes, we can win. Yes, we can reduce the size of government. We can reduce the regulations. I was with a gentleman in Aiken on Friday, and he has 40 employees. He builds products that go in houses. He has 40 employees. He said he has the demand for about 6 more employees. But he said the Affordable Care Act mm-hmm. and the restrictions it places on him, and it reduced a normal work week from 40 hours to 30 hours, is strangling him.
Sure.
Well, that type of thing, not one member of Congress ever voted on reducing that 40 hours to 30 hours. That's wrong. That's
sure.
just wrong. Well, we need to put in a system where the REINS Act, R-E-I-N-S, would provide that any major legislation, the regulations, if they have criminal or civil penalties, that Congress has to vote on those regulations. That's what we need in place. The reason we don't have that is because the Congress does not want to be held responsible. We need folks there who are willing to be responsible, say, okay, I take the blame. I'll do it all day long. But those are leaders. I'm willing to be one of those leaders.
So, you're telling me that just by taking the blame and putting this out here that things would change? Because I know that Congress has worked very hard. In fact, they've tried to repeal it 40-plus times, the Affordable Care Act.
The Affordable Care Act is just one portion in the equation
sure.
of shrinking the size of government. We need to overhaul the tax system. There should be no taxes on capital gains, dividends, on estates. Every penny that someone pays on an estate tax, they had already paid taxes on that when they were building the estate.
Sure.
All of that money will go back into jobs. It'll go back into building a robust economy, and it reduces the size of government. The IRS, do we need the Department of Energy? We never had one until Jimmy Carter. Do we need the Department of Energy? It's got 16,000 employees.
But they've had all this time to do all these things, Det, and all of these things have been discussed, but nothing has happened because when they start looking at it, there's always a reason not to do it.
I agree with you,
Ann. There are people that are in Congress right now that I know would do away with these things, you know, if they could get, A, the support.
Right. That's what I'm going for.
I'm going to
support them. And people will follow courage. They will follow courage. You've got to be willing to sacrifice yourself. The most effective pulpit in the history of this world was the cross. Why? Because the Lord Jesus sacrificed himself. If you go into, well, it doesn't matter if it's the Congress or if it's into a jewelry store, and you're willing to sacrifice, people will take notice. They'll follow that lead.
So you believe that people will, that it could happen. I mean, it has been so out of control for so many years. Why would it start happening now, Det? You know, I think sometimes what happens, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. The fact that government is so big, that it is so bloated, and the economy depends so much on these right. jobs and all this. How do you just go in and start cutting? I mean, we did that with the one that's over the budget and everything, where they were having these parties and all this good stuff. Did anything ever really happen there?
No.
And yet they had them dead to right there.
But the people who are in control mm-hmm. are not willing to make the tough calls. You've got to put folks there who are not looking at the next election. I'm for term limits. I'm for term limit. Two was enough for George Washington. Surely it's enough for any of us. And he didn't have but 8 years.
Sure.
We've got six as a United States senator. But George Washington recognized that he was a Virginia farmer, and he went back to the farm. We've got too many folks there that what they're doing is they're just staying because that is their home. Washington will never be my home. I've got 5 grandchildren who live in South Carolina. I've got 3 sons, 2 daughters-in-law who live in South Carolina.
So you'll be coming back and forth all the time, is that right?
This is my home. This is my home, my friend.
Okay. All right. Hey, we're going to have to hear a quick word from our sponsors. If you'd like to call us, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
Layaway. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or just because, we know layaway every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
That's right. We're back here with Det Bowers. He is running for the Senate for Lindsey Graham's seat. He is a Republican, and he is from down there in the Columbia area. You were a practicing attorney for 20 years.
Yes, ma'am.
And what else did you were a minister?
I was a minister and owned some businesses and created some jobs and understand what it takes to make payroll.
Yeah. Can keep you up at night sometimes.
Well, oftentimes you don't get paid, but your employees do, as
right.
you well know.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I think actually, in truth, employees don't realize that. Employees actually realize, employees actually realize, think that if you are an employer, I'm sorry here, Det, if you are an employer, that you have plenty of money.
Right.
I think they do think that. And I think that they realize that if the boss is having trouble making payroll, it's not really their problem.
Right.
And I think that's unfortunate. I think that that's unfortunate. Sometimes it certainly would be nice if, Gracie, go lay down. Go lay down. I know. You know I have trouble sometimes, don't you, Grace? You worry about me, don't you? I think it would be nice if it was the other way, but it's not. So, as we're getting ready to go towards the top of the hour here, what do you think? You keep talking about this pulling together and not being responsible for not being worried about who gets the credit,
right.
but getting the job done. How do you think that that's going to happen in Washington? And why are you the best person for this job? I mean, there is quite a field. In fact, you're the first up here. I'm going to interview a whole lot more between now and June 10th. So how do you plan to make that happen?
And we need to be selfless. We need to be self-deniers. We need to run away from immediate gratification. We need to labor for the next generation. If we do not do that, we will not address the problems in America.
Well, that's not the baby boomers' philosophy.
It is not the way to do it.
Well, I'm sorry. I mean, I think we have, that's part of the problem, isn't it? We have been very much into working hard and getting what we want.
Right.
Yes.
And indulging ourselves.
And our children.
Right.
Yes.
And we cannot afford that. And neither can our children. And our children, when I talk with 20 and 30 year olds, they have a recognition of the disservice that has come their way because they have been given so much.
I think that's a problem.
It is.
Yes.
It is. But I see a resolve in those 30s, 20s and 30s to turn this around. When I talk with them, I see their backbone straighten.
I won't shoot you with this, honest, I swear.
I do.
you see a resolve?
I do. I really do. I have great hope for those in their 20s and 30s. Because they do not have the advantages you and I had when we were coming along, and they recognize it. And they understand their awakening is going to be brutal unless something occurs. And what I want to do is I want to go to Washington so I can prepare the way for them. That's one of the reasons I believe in term limits. I think it is egotism to think that after two terms, you are the only person who should be holding that office. There are so many other folks out there more competent than I am, brighter than I am, have fresh ideas. Let's go in there and do it. Let's straighten it out and prepare it for the next generation.
Well, I agree with term limits. I agree with term limits. I certainly do. But I think there is something to be said for the fact of knowing how things work and being able to work with people. And I think that one of the things that I've seen is, whether it's in the Congress or in the Senate, there are alliances that happen that give strength.
You're right, but many of those alliances mitigate against South Carolina, and they mitigate against a conservative ideology. That's the problem. The up part of the state, is it the 3rd District? Whatever the Greenville-Spartanburg, whichever one that is. I'm going to say the 3rd District. They traded Bob Inglis for Trey Gowdy. They traded away their seniority. Mm-hmm. Did they win? Not they. Did all of South Carolina win?
Absolutely.
Did all of America win by doing away with that seniority?
Sure.
For a man of courage. And I'm not disparaging Bob Inglis. I know Bob. He's a nice fella. We're friends.
Sure.
That's not the issue. But Trey Gowdy was a man for this time.
Yeah, I agree.
And the people had to make a tough decision in order to bring that about. They made the decision. It was the best decision, and all of us are winning as a result of it.
Absolutely. I like Trey Gowdy. He is one of our regulars on our show right here. But as you move forward on this, how are things going out there in the hinterlands? People getting to know Depp Bowers?
They are, and the reception has been most encouraging. We went on there about 2 weeks ago, 10 days ago, and so name recognition is picking up, and people are more interested in talking, and they're just dialing in. I mean, people have a greater interest in the political process today than they had 10 days ago. And 10 days from now, they'll have more, and so it's mitigating in our favor.
Absolutely. So what is any other issues that you really think are really important to this race? We've talked about immigration.
Right.
And
we talked about the budget. And so, you know, obviously balance in the budget and those types of things.
Obviously balance in the budget. Well, there is a big one right there. Okay. We have to have a balanced budget in South Carolina, don't we?
We do.
Yeah.
We do. And you have to have one both for your business and in your personal life.
Sure.
So we can do that in Washington. We can balance a budget. And it's not that typical. But what it does require is denying yourself at the polls. So you've got to make the decisions that will be appropriate both for this day and the future generations, which means you may take a hit in an election time. That's great. Do what's right, whatever it costs you. I mean, that's what we do in life. You remember when Churchill...
Attorneys are not that way. Attorneys believe in doing what's right for their client now, Dad. What kind of lawyer were you anyways, Dad?
You know, my client paid me in this instance. When I become a United States Senator, the United States government's going to be paying me, so I'm going to do what's best for them. I need to protect their money. I need to make sure they have enough to pay me. And we do that by balancing a budget.
But by the way, what kind of an attorney were you? What part of the law did you actually practice?
Well, I was a trial attorney initially, and then when I went to seminary, I had to transition out of being a trial attorney because my judges did not appreciate my seminary schedule. So I was a transactional attorney.
Okay. All right. Well, we've only got less than a minute here. What would you like us to know about your debt?
I own an agribusiness. The land that we own today, my family owned before there was a United States of America. Before we were Americans, we were South Carolinians. And my forefathers fought in the Revolutionary War. I love this state with all my heart. And I love America. I'll give up everything I have for this state and nation. My life, my liberty, my sacred honor, my fortune, everything I have. I need the people of this state to go with me. Come and go with me. We can make a difference. We can make a difference. And we're going to do it.
All right. Well, this is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Det, I really appreciate Det Bowers. I appreciate you coming on the air this afternoon, sitting down and talking to us. You know, I hope you find that some of the questions that we raised here and everything interesting and something to think about.
And thank you so much. It has been a joy being with you and everyone else.
All right. That's going to do it for us. Bye-bye, everybody.